like to welcome everyone to the pre-frog question and answer call. Today we're going to go over some logistics, and then we have space for you at the end to answer any questions that you may have about our upcoming trip, which is really coming soon, isn't it? Yay!
Yes. Yes.
And very, very excited.
This is Linda, and I am just letting you know that I will need to get off the call at 9:45, the next hour, because I have an important webinar to give, and I always, Pam knows this, I always get antsy before, so I have to, you know, do my breathing. And
you always knock them dead, don't worry about it. So where should we start?
And next week, our next call in 2 weeks, we're going to do it with Zoom. We would have done it today, except my webinar is on Zoom, and I wasn't sure if we could do two things at the same time. So next call, we'll start seeing each other. So that'll be nice.
Yes, for sure. Awesome. Well, let's start at the beginning, our arrival logistics. We have mentioned a welcome pickups in our information pack, and they're generally pretty reliable. But I was looking up Uber yesterday, and I found out where welcome pickups is 29 euros from the airport to our apartments. Uber X, which is one up from their standard, is like $17. So just keep that in mind. You can even do an Uber Select, which I think is like a cool car, like a Mercedes or something, for around $20 USD. So just some great options for you to get from the airport to our apartments. I've posted a pin or a link to our map in our Slack group. So if you haven't taken a look at that, you can see exactly where our apartments are located. And then we've mapped out all kinds of things like restaurants, ATMs, pharmacies, that kind of thing that are all around our apartments. So we're located in Prague 3. And if you've been doing any research about Prague or if you've been there before, they're numbered. So the center where that clock is and, you know, all the historical stuff is in 1. We're in 3. And it's a very easy walk to all the sightseeing.
The Prague 1.
Yeah, in Prague 1. It's a very it's a very popular spot for expats, so we thought it would be perfect for us to really get a local feel. They call it Prague's most, quote-unquote, vibrant and edgy district, so that's kind of cool. It has quirky cafes, watering holes, and art galleries, and it used to be the former working-class district. They call it the most authentic neighborhood of the Czech capital and the quintessence of its awesomeness. So that's kind of cool. And the area is called Zizkov, Zizkov. So that's the area name is called Zizkov. So that's kind of about our area. There's tons of cafes and restaurants and, of course, all our day-to-day stuff like grocery stores and banks and all that stuff are all around us. The really good thing is food is quite expensive in Prague 1 or in the center where all the tourists are. It's very reasonable in our area. Yeah.
We've had people tell us that it's double or sometimes even triple in the center of town what the locals pay, which is more what we'd be paying. So
yeah,
that's nice.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have, we've given you the address. I believe it's in the info pack, right, Pam? 969.
I believe so.
/21 Reharova or something like that. I do not know how to pronounce anything in Czech.
Yeah, Reharova, I think it is.
Yeah. But what we have, which is cool, is 5 2-bedroom apartments and 2 1-bedroom apartments, and they're all in the same building. So the two couples that are coming with us, you've each got a one-bedroom apartment. And then the rest of us are sharing the two-bedroom apartment. And each of the apartments has a hairdryer, oven, microwave, coffee machine, washing machine. Some, I think, maybe all of them have a dryer, which is kind of unusual. Most people in Europe tend to just dry on a rack most of the time anyway. They've got an iron and ironing board. They've got internet, TV, and an elevator in the building. Yeehaw.
Oh, yay.
Yeah,
the washing machine is always a plus. We always try and get washing machines in our units when we're staying for a whole month, so you don't have to overpack. Although, if you see me, you'll know that I always do, because I always have two large suitcases for a month. Cool.
I'm underpacking this time. You know why? Didn't read the fine print.
Oh.
I didn't read the fine print when I made my airline reservation. And I don't even have an option to check a bag. So I have to have a small carry-on bag, and that's it.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, my God. Too bad we're not the same size.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know I can bring two. So is everybody on Slack now? To say MBA?
Yes.
Good. So you know that it's available as a website, but it's also available as an app, of course. So we want to make sure that you all download that to your phones, because that is our primary mode of communication. It's really easy if you haven't been in playing. You can, of course, message everyone in the group under the different topics, but you can also message person to person. So you can send a private message. And then the cool thing, when we're on the ground, you can even call people through that, through Slack. So that's really cool. So we're asking you to practice now so that you're good to go when we get on the ground in Prague. And then if you would use Slack to contact us from the airport so we can meet you at your apartment or in our apartment, how is that going to work? Actually, I think we're going to meet you at your apartments because we have them all the day before, so we're going to be all set up for you. Just to let us know that you're there so that we can ensure that you're met and get to your apartment okay. So use your Wi-Fi, the airport's Wi-Fi, to get onto Slack.
And really, we're going to start from here on out, we're going to start using Slack for all of our communications, even our reminder with the Zoom link for our next call in 2 weeks, we're going to send it on Slack. So it's super important to, we might send an email reminder just in case, but we're trying to get you completely over onto Slack because that's how we do it 100% of the time when we are in Prague.
Woo. Cool. I'm hoping everybody's phones are unlocked if you want to use our supplied SIM cards. So those SIM cards will give you a local phone number and data so that you can get your email and look at maps and, of course, contact each other on Slack. So if you want to use the supplied SIM cards, please ensure that your phone is unlocked. Now, I know that there are packages that you can get, international calls. It's almost always, it would be way cheaper this time because we're supplying the SIM cards, but it's almost always cheaper to get a local SIM card. We have pre-trip questionnaires outstanding from Janet, Colleen, David, Susie, Lisa, and Donna. If you could get those into us as soon as possible, we're using those to match people up for roommates, but we also must have your emergency information on file prior to the trip. Anything else you want to add there, Linda?
No, I don't think so. I think I just want to underscore the SIM card thing. Make sure, in fact, if you're uncertain, if you're not like 110% sure that your phone is unlocked and can accept a different SIM card, especially an international one, then call your provider or go into a shop or something like that just to make sure, because we've had people on past trips who said that, you know, they thought it was unlocked, but when they got to our destination, they discovered it wasn't after all. And that mm-hmm. creates problems. So make sure your phone is unlocked, and all that means is it can take a different SIM card. They're more and more frequently phones are being sold with plans that have everything unlocked, but they're, you know, it's still something that you need to double check on. And the reason that we like the SIM cards as opposed to, you know, the other option you have is to use your own plan but only use Wi-Fi, so that won't cost you anything. But if you have to keep ducking in and out of Wi-Fi just to be in touch with people on Slack, that's so inefficient. And you know, you might be on a bus or on a train or something, and we can't reach you. So we really want people to be like connected 100% of the time through their cellular data, and that's what the SIM card allows you to do.
Awesome. All right, people, we're going to open it up for any questions you may have.
Okay, I have a ton of questions. This is Mary.
Okay, Mary, go for it.
I was just waiting. I'm so ready to have this. Okay, how do we know if our phone is unlocked?
Just as Linda said, call your provider. They'll be able to tell you.
Okay. And you might even stop into, like if you have Verizon, pop into a Verizon store and they can tell you.
Okay, perfect. And if it is unlocked and we have the SIM card, if someone sends us a text to our regular phone number, does that end up coming to us or no?
Only if you have an iPhone and the other person has an iPhone, because then you'd be going through the iMessage system, which is based on Wi-Fi, not cellular data.
Right.
So if somebody with an Android phone, then no. So what we recommend is that you get on WhatsApp. And you can also do this through Facebook messaging. So there are a variety of ways that you can be in touch with people in a text kind of way. It'll just be over Wi-Fi.
Okay, I will get my clients on that. Okay. In our apartment, do you know what size bed we have?
I don't have it right in front of me, but I don't have it right in front of me. I'm all set up for my webinar, so I don't want to break.
Yeah, I totally understand. I don't break the stride. The technology is right. I totally get it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all set up. I don't want to do anything. But
okay.
Do you want us to talk with you about that?
I would just love to know if we have a king bed or a queen size bed, just out of curiosity.
Okay, and I don't know if it lists it.
Do you happen to know if there is any kind of gym nearby?
You know, I haven't looked that up myself. I don't know, but I was going to look that up.
And I
But we all have the address, so.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, and I have a couple of really great local contacts, actually one who's trying to set up speaking engagements for me while I'm here, and so we've got some good local people, too.
Awesome.
So I'll ask.
Maybe we can have them come in and talk with us. We like to do that when we're places.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Either
yeah,
talk to locals or people who have moved to those places.
Yeah, this guy is an expat from Sweden or Belgium or something, and he's got a business there. He's an entrepreneur.
So cool.
He would be perfect. Great. Okay, cool. I'll connect. I'll make that connection.
Excellent. Yeah, right. We really like
That's
to have local speakers.
That's it?
Wow, I'm disappointed.
Sorry.
Who else?
This is Marianne. I have a few questions.
Go for it.
As far as currency, the crown, what do you recommend coming in with?
There's always going to be an ATM or a currency exchange place in the airport. I don't think it's necessary to get them in advance. And if I were you, I personally don't I don't care, and I'll go and check into my hotel or my apartment or whatever and then go find a bank. Like, I don't feel the need, but if you do, then just get some little bit in the airport, and then, you know, our banks nearby will have ATM machines, so have a debit card or a credit card that you can take cash from. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can I add a comment to that, please?
Sure.
This is Lisa Scott. A friend of mine just got back from Prague last week. And she said, under no conditions, get money in the airport.
that
they have extreme fees in the airport versus everywhere else. She withdrew $20 and had over $50 in fees when she got home on her card.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because I know locally here, the exchange rate is very, very favorable, and there's only like a $10 fee if it's over, I mean, $250 and over in U.S. So, I mean, it's really reasonable.
And also, if you end up taking Uber out to the apartment, then, you know, you just do that through your phone. If you're going to get into, if you make arrangements on welcome pickups, that's all done through the website. So you really won't need any cash until you get to the apartment and, you know, start living.
As far as dress, does it tend to be more casual, more business casual?
The last time I was there was in 2016, and in general, Europeans dress better than we Americans do, typically, but the dressier ones are usually in, you know, I don't know, like Barcelona,
downtown,
and Madrid, and Rome, and Milan, and stuff, so I recall it being fairly casual.
Okay. And, as far as the apartment, do we need to bring our own bedding, towels, or is that all there?
That's all there.
Oh, excellent. Okay. And pots, pans, measuring cups, all that kind of stuff, too.
Yep.
Yes, that's all provided.
If there's something that you specifically want, like for cooking, we had somebody on our last trip who brought pink Himalayan salt with her because she loves and wants that, right? So if you want that, bring it. But honestly, Prague is going to have health food stores, and they're going to have all the stuff that, you know, all the goody gourmet kinds of things that you might have anywhere else.
All right. Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it is kind of, there usually are apartments, because they're long-term rentals. We usually work with property management firms, which is the case here, and they're not an overabundance of things in the kitchen, you know. You won't find the gourmet stuff, but it's very utilitarian but very useful for creating our salads and our meals and all that stuff. I usually buy more hangers wherever I go because, you know, I have two big suitcases, things like that. But, you'll be set up with all your linens and all that kind of stuff. So just bring yourselves and your clothes.
And the other thing that, you know, we've encountered probably on every trip is that there will be something. Last time in Barcelona, it was that although they had all the cooking stuff necessary, there were no salad bowls. So because Pam and I noticed that before, we ended up providing the salad bowls. But if you notice something in there, you know, like do you like to use a wooden spoon when you stir stuff and there's no wooden spoon, just find a cooking store and buy it. You know, we're not asking you to go spend a ton of money or anything, but, you know, little incidentals. Just treat it like your own home.
Yeah, there's generally, I bet you Flying Tiger is in Prague as well.
Sure.
And that's a really cool store across Europe that has all kinds of really neat tchotchke little, you know, doodad things.
Yeah,
really inexpensive. So that's where Linda and I usually head. I love stores like that. I just wish there was dollar stores in Europe. And now I'm going, oh, maybe I could start it. The entrepreneur in me is going, oh, my God, I see a hole in the culture there.
Well, and the other thing that is fun is that, if, you know, let's say you do need a wooden spoon and you Google kitchen stores or kitchen supply stores or something like that, culinary stores, then you get an adventure. You get to go find it, first of all. You get to shop there like the local shop there, you know, so it's fun.
We did a lot of that hunting for those great big huge salad bowls.
I was so jonesing for little teeny tiny cappuccino spoons when I was in Rome, and fortunately it was when my birthday was there. My birthday was when we were in Rome, and I ended up getting them from one of our participants as a birthday gift, and they're so perfect, and I just think of that every time I use them. But, you know, it's a fun project, I guess. The other thing I just wanted to say, one other thing about the apartments, they generally, I'm pretty sure we've always experienced that they come with like a roll of paper towels and some toilet paper, but you're probably going to run out. So you'll do that kind of shopping at some point during the time that you're there. Mm-hmm. We'll have already scoped out to see where the grocery stores are nearby, and, you know, that's one of Pam's and my favorite things to do, is to go to local grocery stores and just, like, spend hours there trying to read the labels and
seeing all the different stuff they have. It's just so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is Mary again, and that actually gives me another question. Now that we're talking about toilet paper, yay. I've been to Europe, and they have, experienced some really harsh toilet paper. So would it be a good idea? I mean, are there options, do you think, in the grocery store, or should we maybe pack a little bit of our paper?
No, there's definitely options. Okay. We buy it everywhere we go.
Okay, I was just making sure, because there's been some really, you know, stuff that is more like wax paper than what I think of as toilet paper.
I didn't experience that too, Mary, but it seems like it was a while ago. I don't know the last time you were there and had that experience, but I remember that from like 20 years ago. The last few years that I've been,
I haven't experienced
14. That at all.
What? I was 14 years old at the time, so yeah, maybe.
They even have colored toilet paper still in Europe, which is surprising. But, yes, but it's nice and soft, so no worries. Any other questions? What's it like? I don't know. We've been doing this for a while now, so it's trying to remember what those questions were in the beginning.
Yeah, I think it would be a good idea to look up average weather stuff for the month of September. I know that Pam and I do that, generally speaking, when we're choosing our locations and stuff, and we think it's going to be a pretty spectacular month. But, of course, weather is never definite. So we anticipate that it'll be warm-ish when we get there and cool-ish when we leave. And it could be any of the above, or really warm or really cold during the whole time. But, you know, if you don't want to bring all that kind of stuff, then just stop there. That's, you know, it's fun. I got my coat in Prague, you can say. Or I picked up some boots in Prague because it snowed in September. You know, whatever.
Shut up. That's it. Winter's not coming.
Well, when I was there in October, I think it was, like either late September or early October in 2016, it was rainy at the end of September. It was a little bit rainy, a little bit cool, but not icy. But then I went a few other places, and it actually snowed in early November. So.
Uh-huh. That's why we're going in September, Linda.
Yeah, I know. I keep trying to get Pam to do a winter trip, and she's like, no, that's why we go places, to be warm in the winter.
Yeah, you Californians don't get it, but I live near Toronto. Hello.
I know.
Although Austria could be nice in December, early December.
I've been to Austria Christmas, New Year's, December. My sister-in-law lives there, so I've been there a lot. And it's freaking cold. I don't care what you say. There's snow. Christmas is great because of the markets, but yeah, it's still cold and there's snow. Any other questions from anyone?
This is Sherry. I apologize for getting a call late. We've already talked about roommates and if we can connect with our roommates ahead of time.
We still need everybody to turn in their pre-trip questionnaire because that's one of the things that we use to match people up. So we already read a list. Your name's not on it, Sherry. So
nope, we sent it in.
Right.
I did.
As soon as we get it from everybody, then we'll let you know.
Okay. How many of us are there?
I believe there will be 13.
Oh, 13.
Yeah, and we actually have an extra room. We had a person who was coming with us, and then just like a few weeks ago, she let us know she wasn't. So we actually have an open room, and I was going to make that suggestion. If any of you have a friend, a colleague, you know, somebody who could make a move pretty quickly and is interested in Prague or joining us, we could probably make some arrangements for that person to, you know, to have a good deal for signing up. Because normally, you know, we have our highest prices signing up late. But, you know, so we could probably do something just because we hate for anybody to be the one person without a roommate. And we also hate just having an empty bed. So let us know. Just, you know, connect us or do whatever.
Or, you know, it's actually like the quarantine room if anyone gets sick.
Oh, great. It's the naughty room, Mary. there's 13 of us, so it's a really good group. There's a couple of men, Adam, and which is good because we love the male mojo in our groups. I'm sure you're going to be able to provide a lot for our groups. Prague is amazing. Can't wait to get there, and I can't wait to meet everybody in person. Of course, we have a couple of our alumni joining us as well, Jane Malaszewski and Janet Spadola. If there aren't any questions from anybody else, we won't keep you.
I have one other question, Ms. Linda.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure. I know that Mary saw this and Mary Ann saw this. I put a post on Slack about to see if anybody was interested in joining me for a little adventure. I love this Italian group called Il Volo, and they're performing about 4 hours away in Poland. The weekend before my birthday, so I thought, oh my God, that sounds like so much fun. A little trip, a side trip to Poland and to see them and all that kind of stuff. So if anybody else is interested, I just wanted to throw it out here. Mary Ann has already said she's interested, and so she and I will work it out and do it ourselves if nobody else is. But if anyone is, do let us know so that we can get some tickets together.
Cool. Yeah, I might be interested in that. I also posted a link to an article if you're interested on taking a side trip to Vienna, because if you go by train, it's only, I think, 2.5 hours. So it's an option for people, and I put a pretty good article up in our Slack group.
Cool. And this is Mary. The trip, I know I've commented on the trip to see Il Volo, and I think that weekend I'm actually doing a reunion with some friends, so I will be there. Yeah.
Did you say a reunion?
Yeah, I traveled with a group called Upward People. I don't know if you know it, but I did that.
I do.
Back in 90.
I have some
in 92. Yeah, some of my European castmates were going to get together near Baden-Baden.
That's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I'm super excited because we're going to they live in this little town called Breisach in Germany, and it is literally on the Rhine River right across. from breath. Wow. So we're going to, like, get up and go get real croissants. I can't wait.
Nice.
And you're going to bring them back, right? Hey, Adam.
This is Adam here. I've got, when I was a senior in high school, that we had, I think, 9 or 10 European exchange students, and I was friends with most of them. I'm trying to get the little reunion going at the exact same time in the same place, too. So we may end up having too many reunions going on.
That's so cool.
That'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
And by the way, I said Prague to Vienna was 2.5 hours. I think it's 4.5. Sorry about that. Okay.
All right. Well, I think if nobody else has any questions, we'll just, you know, some things might start stirring between now and our next call. Our next call is on a Wednesday, so 2 weeks, but on a Wednesday. And you can ask the, you know, any remaining ones that pop up for you between now and then on that call.
Yeah, perfect. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone, and we look forward to seeing you, literally, on our Zoom call next time. And
Wait.
Oh, yes?
I just thought of one other thing.
Yes.
One of the things that we wanted to try to do this time is be better about how we do our co-working arrangements. Because something that we've noticed from our past trips, and I think this is true of almost every trip, is that even when people intend, like they tell us, I'm going to work, you know, 20 hours a week, they don't end up working that much, or they end up just preferring to stay at home in their apartments and work. And we don't need to push anybody into doing anything different than what they really want to do, but we also don't want to waste our money by getting you a month-long membership if you don't think that you're going to use it. So if you know already that you're a person who's going to prefer working in the apartment, the only thing I would say is that in the apartments we can't absolutely guarantee the speed and reliability of your internet. Most of the times it's decent, but you know, you could always come in if you wanted to work in your apartment and needed to come in for some, you know, reliable reason. You're giving a webinar or whatever. You know, we can certainly make arrangements like that with the co-working space. So just kind of let us know your preferences, whether you want to go in with us. Pam and I generally enjoy going in, but sometimes we stay at home in the apartment too, you know. So just tell us what your preference is so that we are really matching you up with the right co-working package.
Question for you. Is there, in the co-working space, are there, like, in some, they have, like, phone booths, so if you're doing a client call, you're not out in the open?
Yes, correct. But, yeah, they call them Skype booths.
Okay.
But then you usually book them, judging by where we've been in the past. So, yeah.
Okay,
they're available.
Perfect. And just a tip, something I did, because I'm starting to look forward to, like, how do I open my calendar to my clients and in the different time zone. I actually went into Google Calendar and I blocked 8 to 5 p.m. text time and I marked it as free, but just so I could see when the actual time was compared to, say, California or East Coast or something like that, just to start to get myself oriented to that
success
availability.
9 hours ahead of you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, 9 hours ahead of California. Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah, good idea. That's a great tip.
Okay,
cool.
So, goodbye for real this time?
Yes. Thanks, everyone. Yep, save up your questions for our next call. And then after that, we're in Prague, so excited.
Yay.
So we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yay.
On the Zoom call.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.